Our gospel lesson today is from Matthew 16, verses 21 to 26. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit to be with you in this time and place, we pray. Amen. Jesus starts this new teaching about suffering at a strange time in his life and ministry. He has just asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter correctly identifies him as the Messiah. That's when Jesus says to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." So Peter is riding high with his correct identification of Jesus and his affirmation of Jesus. Then this passage starts with the words, "From that time on." In other words, this is a new teaching, and it's not for the faint of heart. Listen again to what Jesus says. He tells them he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Peter can hardly stand it. It makes no sense to him. Can you blame him? I mean, after all, Jesus is the Messiah, the one who has come to save and redeem Israel, the one who will rise up against all who oppress God's people, right? So Peter boldly tells Jesus, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." And that's when Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." Wait a minute, why is Jesus being so harsh to the guy he just praised? Well, he explains it to Peter. He says, "You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." What does he mean? How are we supposed to set our mind on divine things, not human? And what does this have to do with the suffering that Jesus predicts for himself and his followers? First, we might ask ourselves, how do we see Jesus? How do we see Jesus, and what does he mean for our lives today? Do we see Jesus as the perfect person that we're called to imitate, as a conqueror? That seems to be Peter's view, at least in this conversation. Or do we see Jesus as the savior of a real messy world and a group of sinful human beings? Do we see him as he was, God in the flesh, a lowly Galilean born in a manger, willing to eat with sinners, break Sabbath laws, touch the unclean, and eventually die on a cross? Those are two different images of Jesus. One is powerful and triumphant, just like we would expect for a leader. The other is down to earth and real, not exactly what we expect from leaders. I read an article recently by Kevin DeYoung called "Who Do You Say That I Am?" It's about the different types of Jesus that people see. And here's some of what he says. He says, there's the Republican Jesus, who is against tax increases and activist judges and for family values and owning firearms. There's the Democrat Jesus, who's against Wall Street and Walmart and wants to reduce our carbon footprint and spend other people's money. There's therapist Jesus, who wants to help us cope with life's problems, heal our past, and tells us how valuable we are, how we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves. There's the Starbucks Jesus, who drinks fair trade coffee, loves spiritual conversations, drives a hybrid, and goes to film festivals. There's the open-minded Jesus, who loves everyone all the time, no matter who you are, as long as you're as open-minded as he is. There's the touchdown Jesus, who helps athletes run faster and jump higher than non-Christians and determines the outcomes of every Super Bowl. There's the gentle Jesus, who is meek and mild with high cheekbones, flowing hair. He walks around barefoot wearing a sash and he looks really German. There's the yuppie Jesus, who encourages us to reach our full potential, reach for the stars, oh, and buy a boat. There's the revolutionary Jesus, who teaches us to rebel against the status quo, stick it to the man, dream the impossible. There's the guru Jesus, a wise, inspirational teacher who believes in you and helps you find your center. And there's a good example Jesus, who shows you how to help people, change the planet, and become a better you. But then he says, and then there's Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, not just another prophet, not just another wonder worker. He was the one they had been waiting for, not a reflection of our current mood or a projection of our own desires. He is Lord and God and more loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. That really makes you think, doesn't it? About how you view Jesus. Have we made Jesus into our own image of who we want him to be? Or do we see Jesus as he was and is and always will be? Making Jesus into our image is easier, but we are called to the harder path, the road less traveled, of actually following Jesus, which is not easy. In fact, he says right here that for him and his followers, this is going to be challenging. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. In other words, it's not just Jesus who will suffer. Suffering also awaits all who follow Jesus. But it's a particular kind of suffering, the kind that happens because we are denying ourselves and taking up that cross. But what does that mean? What does it mean to take up a cross? Well, this is really hard in this day and time because the cross has lost a lot of its shock value that would have been there in Jesus' day. Jesus was saying that people who want to follow him need to pick up a cross, which was the symbol of a horrific death, the capital punishment of the Romans, meant to torture people who were crucified. It would be kind of like Jesus saying to us today, we need to pick up our electric chair and carry that. Today we hear the word cross, and what do we immediately think of? Many times we think of a decoration, like for your neck or your home, not a mode of capital punishment, right? So is Jesus saying that Christian faith is just a recipe for suffering for all of us? I read something interesting this week in the Connections commentary. It asked, Are we following a suffering Savior or a Savior who suffers? Think about that for a minute. A suffering Savior suffers for any number of reasons, but a Savior who suffers as a result of obediently following God's call. Have you ever heard the old saying, "This is just my cross to bear"? Have you ever heard people say that? What do people usually mean? They usually mean, "This is just the suffering I have to deal with in life. It's my suffering. I can't get out of it. This is just my cross to bear." But is that what Jesus is talking about? Or is he saying that we are called to bear the cross that comes from following him? We are not called to suffer just for suffering's sake. Suffering itself is not good. It is not God's will for us to be in pain all the time. But following Jesus does mean some self-denial, some self-sacrifice, taking that road less traveled, and that can bring suffering to us. See the difference? And I think it's important to know that Jesus is not saying, your life is going to be bad if you follow me. He's also not saying, life is just bad, people, deal with it. He is saying that following him is not always easy. We will have times of suffering, but for a reason, for a purpose. And that purpose is to follow Christ, become more like Christ. Notice what he says, those who lose their life for my sake will find it. In other words, following Jesus is not easy, but it's worth it. It brings purpose and meaning and joy to our lives. Jesus doesn't want people to just suffer. He doesn't want us in abusive relationships or destructive situations. He wants us to hang in there when the going gets tough as we are following him. Because we are called to do what is good and right, he wants us to hang in there because that can bring tough times. When Peter rebuked Jesus, he saw salvation from all oppression and pain and suffering. And Jesus did come to bring salvation, but on this side of heaven, there is still suffering. We live in this already and not yet time. Jesus has already come, ushering in the kingdom of God and new and abundant life. And yet we are on this side of heaven. We have not yet seen our lives or our world made perfect. So as we think about what it means to take up a cross and follow Jesus, let us think about what cross Jesus is asking us to pick up. Think about that in your life. Is Jesus asking you to speak up or stand up for someone? Does someone need to hear your story of faith? Is there a decision that needs to be made to follow what is right? Think about that in your own life. And when you do these things, is there a chance that you will come up against opposition, that you might suffer in some way? Chances are you will. We will. When we pick up that cross and follow Christ, we will encounter some suffering, but here the good news of the gospel today. We are all called to pick up our cross and follow, which won't be easy, which means we will face some suffering, but we will also discover life. For in losing our lives, we will actually find them, lives of meaning and joy and purpose. And I think we can all agree that that's worth it. And for this, all God's people say together, Amen.